I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This was kind of a doozy of a week. I know I've used that D word a couple of times, but it was a doozy of a week because you're coming off of maybe a longer weekend. Maybe it was 4 or 5 days of vacation, a lot of travel, still eating turkey and stuffing and potatoes and pumpkin pie. Oh my gosh. I finished all of my Thanksgiving leftovers except for the pie. I cannot eat all this pie, and I can't bring it here because it's pie. It's weird to bring pie to work. Also, I feel like everybody here has probably had their fill of pie as well, so I don't even know what to do with that. I hate to throw food away, but I might put it out for the bears in the neighborhood because I don't know what else. They can be pumpkin bears. Anyway, there's a bit of a turkey hangover. And so this was a tough week, I think, for a lot of people. You're also starting to get into Christmas and holiday mode and everything that has to be done. And so I get it. And I feel the same exact way. Christmas tree is ready to be decorated. It's sitting in its bucket in my garage, bucket of water. It's finally dried off. All the snow has melted off the tree, and it's ready to go. And so that will be the goal while I am watching conference championships. It's championship weekend in college football. And, of course, on Sunday, I'll be there with my notes because we enter the final month of the NFL regular season, which is just crazy to me. They always go hand in hand. Two of the things that I love. I love the stretch run in the NFL, and I love the holidays. I love Christmas time. And so it's a good time to be Amy Lawrence. Although, in case you really wanted to be Amy Lawrence also has to go from here straight to an early basketball game that I'll be calling for TV. So, Amy Lawrence's glamorous life also includes 13 hours of straight work. Just all work. At least there's a breakfast sandwich and some extra coffee in my future. And it's Friday! This is why Chris is a good producer. I sent him a text and was complaining about traffic and the commute to work, and I was stuck at a stoplight in New York City, blah, blah, blah. And he writes back, at least it's Friday. Yes, why didn't I think of that? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage, and that's the difference. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Do you think the at least it's Friday sentiment works on Jason Garrett or Jason Witten or the Dallas Cowboys who've just dropped their third straight game? Do you think it works on Jerry Jones, who is still so angry and frustrated, but is not making a change at head coach? If that's where you were expecting this morning when you woke up, you're going to have to wait. There will be no change at Dallas Cowboys head coach. Not yet. And so they march forward with a still very real possibility that they could win the NFC East. It might be with a losing record, but the Cowboys soldier on. Meanwhile, don't look now, but the Chicago Bears have won 3 in a row, and Mitch Trubisky may have just figured it out. Now, it obviously is about the teams that you're playing. It's about the defensive matchups, but I like what Trubisky said after the game against Dallas. We took what the defense gave us. I mean, the defense was giving up a lot. Let's be honest. The defense was giving up pretty much everything. However, you take what the defense gives you. And if the defense gives you shoddy tackling, if the defense gives you a lack of toughness, if the defense gives you, I don't want to say disinterest, but a soft approach, if the defense isn't going to take advantage of the opportunity, well, then you take it to them.
Trubisky in the gun, backs things up, making checks, 4 on the play clock, down 7, takes the snap, got a rifle, the middle of the end zone, the pass is caught for the touchdown Bears, and the catch made by Allen Robinson, an extra point away from tying it up with 12:13 to go in the first half. Trubisky, outlet pass to Miller, right side, hits the gas at the five, spins into the end zone, touchdown! Touchdown Bears! And the lead is 23-7. Trubisky's third touchdown throw, 14 yards, and Miller with his first touchdown of the year. Bears have opened up a 16-point lead with 23 unanswered on the Cowboys.
Turned into 24 unanswered points. An impressive run for the Chicago Bears after the opening drive. They watched the Cowboys hold the ball for 9 minutes and go 17 plays and score a touchdown. What? I mean, raise your hand if you watched the opening drive and thought, okay, this is where the Cowboys turn the corner. This is where the Cowboys move forward. Except that was the highlight of the game for Dallas. That and the Amari Cooper touchdown catch, which was sweet. By the way, Dak Prescott just set a single season personal best. 24 touchdown passes. Surpasses the 23 he had in his rookie season. There's a lot of good happening with the Cowboys. The problem is, it's an individual good. It's not a team good. They're all pulling in different directions. Part of being a team in a team sport is that you have to be going the same direction. Or you're just negating the progress. So one guy may be making some positive steps here, but then you're pulling him backward. So weird to watch these Dallas Cowboys because they've got so much talent and they're underachieving because they're not on the same page. And yes, ultimately the buck stops with the head coach. Jeff Joniak with the call on the Chicago Bears radio network. I was going to say more about the Jason Garrett situation, but I will coming up. I want the Bears to get a little pub here. They've put themselves in the conversation again for NFC wildcard. It's far-fetched, but what they want is still available to them because they still take on the Packers and Vikings in December, the two teams above them in the North. Both of those games are on the road. So if what the Bears wanted was to dig a deep enough hole and increase their degree of difficulty, well, congratulations! You've done that! And yet, they didn't give up, they didn't give in, and at least they have something to play for the rest of the way. And that's a tribute to their head coach, Matt Nagy.
Number one, to start off, just proud of our guys for being put in this situation and taking full advantage of it. You know, we played a full game tonight across the board and had some adversity there early on with that long drive, the touchdown, but no one flinched. And, you know, it's just that's what we know. You know, we want to keep growing from. So that part was good.
So the Chicago Bears passed their test in week 14. And now the Rams, who would be that other team that's kind of right there in the conversation for wild card, along with the Niners and the Seahawks. But those two teams, they already have 10 wins. So if you're thinking about kind of the second tier, the teams that need some help, well, then you're talking about the Rams and the Bears. So can the Rams take care of business against the Seahawks? Gosh, what an interesting mess in the NFC West. Mess is probably the wrong word. What an interesting conglomeration in the NFC West. Just all kinds of fun possibilities with the games we've got remaining inside the division. So Seahawks and Rams are Sunday night. The Rams could move to 8-5. Now, depending on what happens with the Vikings this weekend, the Rams could then have the same number of wins as the Vikings, right? So you see where I'm going with this. We're talking about stretch run here. Vikings host the Lions, so if they take care of business, they would stay the nose in front. And they've got to, because they've got both Bears and Rams breathing down their necks for that second wild card. At least right now, things could change. A lot of real estate left. But good for the Bears. They didn't give up. They kept fighting. It's not always pretty. I like what Eddie Jackson had to say after the game. We knew the offense would eventually figure it out. And that's part of the process. Over the course of an NFL season, it's part of the process. It doesn't always work. It doesn't always look pretty. Sometimes it's awful. But you keep working at it until you figure it out. Can the Cowboys do that? Cool. I think a lot of people have given up hope. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Ezekiel Elliott says the team just keeps letting each other down. And I appreciate how he says that. When one group or one player is carrying his weight, it seems like the others are dragging behind. There's not a whole lot of synergy on this team. And it's hard to win in the NFL. I hear that from players all the time. It's hard to win. It's why you celebrate every single victory. Who cares who it's against? You celebrate it because it's tough week in and week out. And if you're not all pulling in the same direction, like a tug of war, you got to all be pulling the same direction or you're going to lose. That's what I feel like with the Cowboys. You've got guys going one direction, other guys going another direction. They're making it more difficult on themselves because they're not operating like a team. It's not an individual sport. And again, as I say, ultimately, that responsibility falls on the coach. It's his job to inspire, motivate, prepare, lead. The locker room takes its cue from him. And Jason Garrett's message may be getting stale. But change is not always a bad thing. 10 years as the head coach of an NFL franchise is a long time. Change could be good for the Cowboys. Honestly, I think they need someone who puts a fear of God in them, and that's not Jason Garrett. They don't look like they're worried about losing their jobs to me, at least not on the defensive side of the ball. They look pretty fat and happy and comfortable, except for Jason Witten. And that's because he can see the end of his career and he doesn't want it to end like this. I think the Cowboys need someone with a little more credibility. Somebody who's been where they want to go. And Jason Garrett's personality is not like that. But change can be good for Jason Garrett too. He's not a bad coach and it's not all his fault. I think Jason Garrett should go find another job. Change of scenery, fresh start, new challenge. It's good for us as human beings. It's good for us as professionals. So hashtag free Jason Garrett. Jason Garrett needs a team of professionals who are going to listen, who are going to buy in and stay bought in. A-Law Radio is where you can find me on Twitter. Also on our Facebook page, you're blowing it up. Games you're looking forward to this weekend, whether college or pro. We got a couple of different polls and a couple of different posts on Facebook. And then coming up next, Bills Ravens. We're going to get the inside scoop. Actually, it's probably not that. It's more like the pulse of Bills Nation or Bills Mafia, as they like to call themselves. So we're going to head to Western New York. Talk a little Bills Ravens. Excited about that. And then we'll get back to your calls. We have full phone lines. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Good Friday morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Allen takes the snap. They rush four. Allen going to run it. Josh has clear sailing over the right side. Gets to the 10. Inside the 5. He is hit going out of bounds, but he is in. Touchdown, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 15-yard run over the right side for the Buffalo touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John Murphy, longtime voice of the Buffalo Bills since I worked in Western New York. My first job out of college, out of Syracuse, was in the Rochester market. And actually, I was involved on Buffalo Bills broadcasts on Sundays. So I get the fervor and the passion. I get the radical following that the Bills have in Western New York. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. This is one of the huge games this weekend, a massive test for the Bills who are flying under the radar a little bit. And of course, the Ravens who put it all out there taking place in Orchard Park, and we're pleased to welcome Jeremy White of WGR in Buffalo. Jeremy, I just saw this on your Twitter, and I need you to explain it to me. Bills and Ravens in the game of the decade in Buffalo, but will the stadium be full? What does that mean?
Well, Buffalo has a pretty big stadium. you know, that's worth mentioning. 73,000, and it's December and it's cold, and even though people in Buffalo are you know, conditioned to the weather, sometimes we can be a little lazy like anybody else.
So what are you expecting then?
Well, the last one was a Denver game, and that was kind of the setup to this one, and it was 90% full. I would imagine it's pretty darn close. The upper corners of the upper deck might not be full. You might have people that are season ticket holders that bought tickets that just decide to stay home because they're cold or just the holidays. Who knows?
No!
I know. That's why I keep asking the question. Is this going to be a day where we have a couple empty seats, or will everybody fill in, you know, day of and walk-up sales? There are lots of tickets left, so...
Jeremy, we are having, you're kind of fading in and out, you're getting muffled and then you're coming back. I don't want to miss this. Are you moving or?
No, I'm good.
Okay, good. All right, stay right there because okay. Now we can hear you fine. Jeremy White with us. He's the co-host of the Howard and Jeremy Morning Show on WGR in Buffalo, a heritage station there. So Jeremy, how excited or how confident, let me ask that, how confident are Bills fans going into this game?
Well, I would say that everything for the Bills fans changed on Thanksgiving because it was such a big spot, such a big game. And, you know, the Bills all year long had beaten up on, you know, pretty bad teams, cupcakes, whatever. And, you know, Bills fans heard those criticisms and didn't necessarily disagree. You know, you play who's on your schedule. But Dallas was a different animal because it was the big stage, you know, the big team, the Cowboys. Everybody pays attention to them. And not only did the Bills win it, but they won it pretty convincingly. And early on in the season, convincing wins weren't coming too often. So it's a convincing win in that spot, and Josh Allen looked the part. So I think things changed a lot on that Thanksgiving Day game. It became a, you know, all right, what do we got here? And now with Baltimore, you know, it's the point spread's the same. The game is here. And I think it's about to be, if they find a way to beat Baltimore, it'll be a huge jumping off point to, how far can this team go?
How many people... in Buffalo, maybe like give me a percentage. Do you think believe this team has taken that step to the next level, and how many fans are still taking the wait and see approach?
Well, I think everybody thinks they've taken a step to the next level. The question is, there's one more to go, like a real true contender. You know, when you are playing in week 14 with a chance to clinch a playoff spot, I mean that's new life. Controlling your own destiny is new life. But those that are 17-year playoff drought broken on the final day of the season after their game was over.
Right.
So, you know, this is totally different. To be flexed into Sunday night football. The Bills haven't been on Sunday night football since the Patriots' undefeated season when they were flexed in to play the Patriots.
Whoa!
Yeah, exactly. And before that, I think it was 2001. So, you know, people paying attention to the Bills, that's totally new. Getting flexed into a big game and having it be because the Bills are good and maybe a bit of a draw is new, too. So, the next level of getting attention is kind of nice, and now it's just about, you know, staying there and seeing if this team can actually knock off a team like the Steelers on Sunday Night Football next week, or the Patriots in a Saturday Night Football game Saturday afternoon the following week. So, you know, you'll see a lot of the Bills, and Bills fans are ready to see it because there's a lot of belief, but we know it's not quite at the tier that they need to get to yet.
It's interesting, and the reason I ask, it's interesting that you say that, because there's a Bills fan that works with us. He's a longtime Bills fan, and he actually said to me before the show, I'm just happy with one of the next three. If we can win, he said we, meaning the Bills, if we can win one of the next three, I'm happy. And I said, what about the AFC East? It's still there. It, you know, if you can run the table, beat the Patriots, it's still there. No. Everything now is gravy. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. I mean, this is the best season the Bills have had since the Jim Kelly era. And you're telling me you're happy with one win in the next three? He mentioned the Pittsburgh game. And I hope that's not the approach of most Bills fans, because I feel like this team is proven itself. It's not always beautiful. I mean, it's you know, at times it's ugly, but that's kind of Buffalo football, and it's okay that way. So it's kind of interesting that he said that. I just wondered if that was reflective of a lot of Bills fans.
I think he's totally right.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you know what? People around here don't want to get too greedy just yet. You know, buying into this team is winning the division. They haven't been the Patriots, you know what, three times in 20 years or whatever it is. The Patriot thing is always hanging there.
Sure.
And the game this year was a 6-point game. The Patriots won on a blocked punt return for a touchdown.
And so, Josh Allen was knocked out of the game.
Exactly. So, you know, there's the belief that they can stick with the Patriots. If the Patriots were to lose to Kansas City this week and the Bills were to beat the Ravens somehow, I mean, then the Bills are in the driver's seat for the division. And that's a different story. So, you know, New England still has to do some losing. We don't talk about getting by New England around here too often because it's so ridiculous. The Bills haven't been within like three games of them ever. So, you know, you don't talk about it until it's actually in front of you, I guess.
I guess. Jeremy White, co-host of Howard and Jeremy, the morning show in WGR Buffalo with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. When you look at Josh Allen over the course of his NFL career, there's been a lot of development, of course. What stands out the most to you about his journey so far?
Well, he makes throws that people probably didn't think he could make. A play is never over. A drive is never over, I should say. And while he's still, you know, not perfect and has plenty to add to his resume, 3rd and 11, 3rd and 10, like, you know, teams will say you don't want to get into 3rd and long. With the Bills, you almost do want to get into 3rd and long because he can either make plays with his legs like Lamar Jackson does or make throws on the run. He's got, you can see that the game has started to, I don't say it started to slow down, maybe it has, but he's definitely a guy that looks like he belongs there. And, you know, when he came out in the draft, there were plenty of people, myself included, who had major concerns about whether or not he would be able to hack it. And right about now, I mean, he just looks as cool as a cucumber. He doesn't get rattled. It's the best way to say it, is like the guy has settled into the role and kind of has taken it over as his team to a little bit.
When you think about the defense versus the run game, the ball control of the Baltimore Ravens, who do you think has the advantage?
I'd say Baltimore has an advantage there, and probably on anyone. The Bills have had a little bit of trouble with run defense this year. They got gashed by Washington in a game that they won. They got gashed by the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles came in and ran for maybe 200 yards. So there have been spots where the run defense has been able to, you can get yards on them. So I'd say the advantage there is Baltimore. But at the same time, you know, the Bills are definitely competent and can match up with just about anyone. The defense generally plays a solid discipline style. Their defensive backs are really good in coverage. They've got good man corners. Tre'Davious White is a great man coverage corner. I know that, you know, with Baltimore, you don't always want to play man because that means turning your back on Lamar Jackson. I'd say the Ravens have the advantage from sure. And for me, it's just about whether or not the Bills' offense can keep up. That's the most exciting possible scenario of this game, is watching a potential shootout, which is something else that Bills fans never see. And it's always about defense around here. And this offense has started to click a little bit, and that's probably what people are hoping for will take them to the next level.
It feels like nervous energy coming from Western New York. That's what I feel.
100%. And we have in the afternoon show on our station was talking about Thanksgiving and said his entire family approached the Thanksgiving Day game in Dallas as, how about we just don't get killed out there, you know?
Oh, my God!
That's what it's like. It's been so long since anybody here has been good. Same thing with this Ravens game. All this attention, there's a little bit of a fallback of like, you know, could you just make it look good? That'd be okay.
Oh, my gosh.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines. A direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
Boom!
So we got a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back. It's a grand slam! They're going in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. Do you believe it?
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom.
Penny in the backfield. Metcalf, far side wide. Russell's got time. He's got David Moore wide open. Moore makes the catch. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks. From 60 yards, Russ looked up, saw David Moore running right past Xavier Rhodes, and said, here you go, serves it up on a platter, and the Seahawks are on top, 26-17, and they're doing the hula in the end zone, the Seahawks receivers. Wow, what a big play for Seattle.
We're playing great football. I think we can play better. I think that we're, thing is, we're 10-2, you know, and top of the NFC West, and we're in control. And that's a great thing. You know, we like having that control and just being able to try to continue to win football games. And we don't want to get bored of consistency. Just keep winning, keep finding a way. We're doing a great job.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
From one control freak to another, I agree. Control is a great thing. And the way the Seahawks are playing, that moment on Monday Night Football, fantastic for them. Now first place in the NFC West, as Russell Wilson points out. And what a huge bomb down the field to David Moore, as the Seahawks have when he talks about having everything ahead of them that they could possibly want, they do. And also, they have the benefit of the Niners and the Saints playing each other, and one of them will pick up a loss, which is huge. So I kind of wonder, I'm thinking, like, who are they rooting for this weekend? But it's not too overwhelming ever for the Seahawks because of their leadership, because of Pete Carroll, because of Russell Wilson, because of a handful of other veterans. They just don't ever get flummoxed. And that's why they excel in close games. I mean, they don't play any other kind of game. Is it Seahawks-Rams that you're most looking forward to? That's coming up on Sunday night. It's one of the options in our poll, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. But as much as I'm talking about football, most of you are reading my tweet about the Peloton ad. I should have known. On Facebook, you're all about the football, though. Although, this note from Corey on Facebook befuddles me a bit. He says, you're talking about fan bases that are kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop. That's how it is for us Ravens fans. For years with Flacco as our quarterback. No, man. You lost me there. You lost me. Flacco is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. The Ravens have two championships this century. So no. That doesn't fly. It's not the same as Buffalo. Buffalo has one playoff appearance this century. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico, with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Right now, in our college football championship poll, SEC championship is outdistancing and outpacing the field. And I kind of feel like Ed Orgeron is the reason why.
I know our fans are going to be there. I feel good about that. Everywhere we've gone, we've had great fans. But we will treat this as an away game. We'll be very well prepared for all the Georgia fight songs they'll play on our field all week.
I love Coach Orgeron, Coach O. So the SEC championship, of course, is a battle of number 2 versus number 4. It starts at 4 o'clock Eastern time on CBS from Atlanta, so 4 o'clock local time. And Coach O will be in rare form, no doubt. The one I'm most looking forward to, though, is the Big 12. Because the Big 12 very often has been the team on the outside looking in when it comes to the college football playoff. And here you go, number 6 versus number 7, the Sooners against the Bears. It was an epic game just a few weeks ago. How will this one be different? It's in Arlington, Texas. It's actually 11 o'clock a.m. local time start, so 11 o'clock central time. And Lincoln Riley, who's been rumored as a guy who could take over for Jason Garrett in Dallas with the Cowboys, well, he's got other things on his plate right now.
Glad we had a reason to come reconvene here today. That's always a good thing to obviously be in the championship game. Excited to be back. Going to Arlington, getting ready to play a really, really good Baylor team, as we know. It's been fun the last couple years. The difference in having the championship game versus not, and I think we all understand why Big 12 made the decision to go to it. I think there's been a lot of positives, a lot of advantages.
Absolutely. It's a high-profile weekend, and if you want to be part of it and not be overlooked, if you want to be considered in the same category, then you better get yourself a championship weekend. And I know there are a lot of storylines, but I love the Jalen Hurts full circle. I love the fact that he gets another opportunity in a conference championship. And I'm not suggesting at all that he's pointing at Alabama and thinking, haha, I get the last laugh. No, he's not that kind of a guy. He has such class and such grace. And he would never wish anything bad against Alabama. I firmly believe that, especially not Tua. They're very close. But the idea that Jalen made this decision to leave Alabama and finish out his eligibility with Oklahoma, and he's a major reason why they are competing for a spot in the college football championship while Alabama has hit some just some really tough times. I think that's an interesting twist as well this weekend. 855-212-4227. You can find our polls on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on Facebook. Right now, nearly half of you are saying it's Georgia, LSU, and the SEC that you're most looking forward to, you're salivating over. When it comes to the NFL, the polls are a little closer. Three games right now that you're psyched up about. Me too. I feel the same way. Let's see. Let's talk to Daniel, who's in California. Welcome to After Hours. Daniel.
Hey, how are you doing, Amy Lawrence?
I'm good. Thank you.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Yeah, I want to know your opinion with the 49ers and the Saints this weekend. You know, obviously the Saints got a lot of talent and stuff like that, and 49ers been having a fantastic year, and, you know, the defense is unbelievable, and this is late in the season. What do you think is going to go down?
Yeah, I mean, I'm really looking at that San Francisco 49ers defense, and can they stop the run? They've been effective at doing it. They won't have the benefit of the weather helping them out, though, in this game. And so I think for them, it's, you know, if you can limit Alvin Kamara, if you can limit the run game for the Saints, you kind of make them a little more one-dimensional. I'm not saying Drew Brees can't beat you. He certainly can. But the physical nature of the Niners defense, physical, aggressive, if they can force some turnovers, if they can, you know, if they can stay home and yet still be aggressive, I think that's really important because they match up with some incredible playmakers in New Orleans. And as for the offense, I know they want to play that same ball control game. They want to put together the long drives. They want to keep the ball away from Drew Brees as much as possible. I feel like the edge that the Niners will get in this game is if they can be physical, if they can be, forget finesse, just pound them. That's what the Niners do well defensively, is just throw their weight around and physical and tough and fierce. And to me, that could give them a nice advantage. Although, I mean, it's Drew Brees. The man's a Hall of Fame quarterback, and he's used to picking apart defenses.
Right. He is a, you know, incredible quarterback, stuff like that. But obviously, you know, he's up there in age. And, you know,
do you think he slowed down any? Because I don't think so.
No, I mean, he's definitely, you know, talented, and he is a Hall of Famer, I believe. But, you know, we got Sherman. He's, you know, still alive. He's healthy. Dee Ford, they said he's active. And, you know, DJ Jones.
Yep.
Solomon Thomas and, you know, Eric Armstead, and of course, you know, Bosa, he's, you know, only getting better every single game.
Yeah, if they can put pressure on Drew Brees, if they can hit him, that's also a huge advantage.
If Garoppolo, you know, calms down on the turnovers, I think that's a W for sure, and it's, you know, extremely important. And I'm looking forward to this morning on Sunday.
Good. Awesome. Me too, Daniel. Thanks so much for your phone call. Let's see if we can do one more here. Darren in Texas, you got 90 seconds. Go ahead.
All right, so just want to say that I love Mike. We have a local talk show. It's called Mike Bassick on the G-Bag Nation. Shout out. He makes a great point about what is Jason Garrett's role? Because it seems like his entire role is just sitting on the sidelines, clapping and pointing fingers. Like, he's not involved with the play calling process. That's Kellen Moore. He's an offensive mind. He doesn't really do anything on defense. What exactly does he bring to the table?
You honestly think he's not involved in play calling? Come on, man. Just because Kellen Moore is the one who is actually relaying the calls doesn't mean that Jason Garrett hasn't been involved in the play calling and the planning, the preparation all week long. There's no way that Kellen Moore is autonomous. So that's not true. It's not true that Garrett's not involved. So I get what you're saying, and I understand Cowboys fans are frustrated and they want to minimize what Jason Garrett does. But come on. I mean, don't be an ass about it. He really just stands there on the sidelines and claps and points. I mean, that's obviously not true. And he's involved in every facet of the game. He is. That's his job. But just because he doesn't call plays on game day doesn't mean he's not in Kellen Moore's ear and they haven't put together the game plan together before they ever got there.
Well, it's just one of those things. You look at it and you say, what exactly do you bring to the table? As a former offensive coordinator, to have that role stripped from you when you became head coach, because early on, the offense wasn't there. They had to completely take him away from it, from the play calling aspect of it. Yeah, and he does bring experience to Kellen Moore, first year offensive coordinator. But at the same time, what is it that you do during games? Because it seems like the only thing he does is just miss time as timeout.
All right. Well, clearly you're ready for the Cowboys to move on, Darren. Thanks for your phone call. And I appreciate that there are a lot of Cowboys fans who are frustrated. Jason Witten's frustrated. We saw that on the sidelines. No doubt Jason Garrett is frustrated, too. But you're asking to be someone different. He's not a fired up, fiery, emotional head coach. That's not who you get from him most of the time. That's not his personality. But to say he does nothing is ridiculous. If nothing else, he has to answer questions from the media every single freaking week about his job status. I mean, come on. You can't honestly believe that Jason Garrett doesn't do anything. He's the head coach. He does everything. That's kind of the idea. And if the Cowboys don't get their arc together here on in this last month, even if they do make the playoffs, he's likely going to be the one that pays for their sins. Even though he's not the one overthrowing guys on the field, he's not the one missing tackles while Mitch Trubisky bounces off a defense, he's not the one missing field goals. I mean, the players bear some responsibility and some blame here, too. However, 10 years is a long time to be in one place. And change is good. Change will be good for the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe a different voice. Certainly someone who can hold them accountable. But also, hashtag free Jason Garrett. Let the man go do something else. He's a good coach, and a change would be good for him, too. But it's not coming right now. Take our polls on Twitter, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page as well. Enjoy your weekend of football. We'll talk on Sunday night. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.